The following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is. Chapter number 4, text number 38. Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari. Recorded on May 25th, 2010, in Sofia, Bulgaria.
So, tonight we are reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter number 4, text number 38. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Nahi jnanena sadrisham pavitram iha vidyate tat svayam yoga sansidha kalena Atmani Vindati Nahi Gyanena Sadrisham Pavitram Iha Vidyate Tatsvayam Yoga Sangsidha Kalena Atmani Vindati Nahi jnanena sadrisham pavitram iha vidyate tat svayam yoga sangsidha kalenat mani vindati. Nothing. You can give the Bulgarian translation of the word. He certainly Gyanena with knowledge Sadrisham in comparison Pavitram, sanctified. Iha, in this world. Vidyate, exists. Tat, that. Svayam, himself. Yoga in devotion. Sangsidha. He who is mature. Kalena. In course of time. Atmani. In himself. Vindati enjoys. In this world, there is nothing so sublime and pure as transcendental knowledge. Such knowledge is the mature fruit of all mysticism. And one who has become accomplished in the practice of devotional service enjoys this knowledge within himself in due course of time. Purport. When we speak of transcendental knowledge, we do so in terms of spiritual understanding. As such, there is nothing so sublime and pure as transcendental knowledge. Ignorance is the cause of our bondage, and knowledge is the cause of our liberation. This knowledge is the mature fruit of devotional service. And when one is situated in the transcendental knowledge, he need not search for peace elsewhere, for he enjoys peace within himself. In other words, this knowledge and peace culminate in Krishna consciousness. That is the last word in the Bhagavad Gita. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Kamala Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajata Sahagana Raghunatan Vitan Tam Sajiva Sadaita Zavaduta Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha So there's different types of jnana. Sometimes we hear, well, there's jnana and it's one level, and then a higher level is bhakti. But a different type of jnana is being spoken here about by Prabhupada. Prabhupada is saying here a type of jnana which is the result of devotional service. When the fruit of pure devotional service, you see, is there, when pure devotional service becomes fully fructified, then one is blessed with transcendental knowledge. And he doesn't need any peace anywhere else. Not in anything else. Just that knowledge itself gives him complete peace and happiness. That's all. Doesn't depend on any material thing at all. Nothing. And he relishes that like anything. Just the knowledge, the transcendental knowledge that he has realized as a result of pure devotional service is so enlivening that he can just go on relishing that knowledge with nothing else to do. But yet he remains fully active at the same time. Because he sees around him a whole world bereft of this transcendental knowledge. He sees around him the entire world is suffering due to a lack of this transcendental knowledge. Therefore, he fully absorbs himself 24/7 in pushing forward this knowledge for the benefit of the suffering, ignorant souls. Note in the verse, Krishna is saying, one who has become accomplished in the practice of devotional service. What does that mean? The Sanskrit is sang siddha, mature, you see, expert. Or siddha means perfect, and sang means complete, or completely perfect, you see, sang siddha. That devotee who is completely perfect in devotional service, or mature in devotional service, he relishes that knowledge like anything within himself. So, if we want to relish the knowledge, we have to qualify ourselves for them. By surrender to Krishna. Krishna says, inasmuch as they surrender to me, I reward them accordingly. So it's not that a person who is only partially surrendered will relish the knowledge on the same level as someone who is 100% surrendered. How much do you want to relish the knowledge? 10%? 30%? 80%? If you want to relish this knowledge 100% in all time, places, and circumstances, then you must surrender 100%. You can't fool Krishna. You can't make a show of devotional service and expect to receive the same benefit. It has to be genuine within your heart. And it doesn't depend on others also, you see. Each one of us is on our own, even though we're taking advantage of the association of devotees. We're taking advantage of guru, sadhus, so many things we're taking advantage of, you see, to advance in Krishna consciousness. But ultimately, how much you advance in Krishna consciousness is completely up to you, nobody else. It's all on your shoulders. You can't say, well, the devotees weren't nice to me and therefore I'm not Krishna. No, you can't give any excuse. It's all completely up to you. How much are you willing to surrender to Krishna? To that extent, you relish the transcendental knowledge. So we shouldn't wait around. The pure devotional service is so nice, I can sit and watch it for hours. It's not a spectator sport. If you want to taste this nectar, you have to dive in and yourself personally become absorbed in bhakti. You have to make the commitment within your own heart to Krishna. And then you will taste the nectar. So, why are we holding back? There's no reason to hold back. But yeah, we hold back. Foolishly, we hold back. Tama guna. Mode of ignorance. So we should kick out this tama guna. That's why it's recommended a Vaishnava should rise early in the morning before sunrise. Because this helps to repel the influence of tamagun. So in this way, we will take advantage of this wonderful process that Prabhupada is giving us. Become more and more absorbed in Krishna consciousness 24 hours a day. Then we will experience an amazing awakening of transcendental knowledge within our hearts. It will be so relishable and so sweet that nothing of this material world can compete with it. So I'll stop here and ask if there's any questions. Stanu Prabhu.
Трябва ли човек да се издава на тази знание? При положение, че все пак при получаване на щастите, ние трябва да знаем, че го правим за удоволствие на Кришна това. Трябва ли да се създаваме? Това авторизираме ли в този стих, да че трябва да се... Това е първият въпрос.
Can we relish this knowledge? Can we relish?
Yes.
Because we know that we must do everything. We must do everything for Krishna pleasure.
Yeah.
And not for our pleasure.
Yeah.
And so then how we relish?
Yeah. Our process is that we give pleasure to Krishna, that's right. But that is the supreme relish. To relish giving pleasure to Krishna. You see, you think the devotees don't enjoy pleasing Krishna? And there's nothing sweeter and more relishable than, I mean, just seeing Prabhupada, how blissful he was relishing like anything, giving pleasure to Krishna. It's not that the... Oh, I'm going...
Вярно, че това е нашия процес да доставяме удоволствие на Кришна, обаче ние изпитваме удоволствие от това да доставяме удоволствие на Кришна и виждаме, че Шрила Прабхупад той се наслаждава много дълбоко през цялото време, докато служи на Кришна.
What is that he relishes? That Krishna is God, that I am his eternal servant and now I must engage in his service. He relishes that like anything.
Той се наслаждава на това, че Кришна е Бога, аз съм Негов вечен слуга. Той се наслаждава много дълбоко.
So the pure devotee, he is the supreme relisher, actually.
Чистият преданно отдаден е, той е върховният наслаждаващ се.
He relishes being absorbed in giving pleasure to Krishna.
Той се наслаждава на това да е потопен, да доставя удоволствие на Кришна.
He enjoys equally with Krishna.
Той се наслаждава наравно с Кришна.
Why equally he enjoys more than Krishna? That's why Krishna became Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because he said, what is this? My devotee is enjoying more than me? How is that? I'm a supreme enjoyer? And Radharani is enjoying more than me by serving me? I don't want to miss out on this pleasure. I'm going to become my own devotee. So he did. He became Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When Krishna wants to increase his enjoyment, he becomes Lord Chaitanya. Because there is more relish in being the devotee of Krishna than there is being Krishna. As confirmed by Krishna himself. So don't think it's not relishable to be a devotee. It's the supreme. It's even more relishable than being God Himself. By becoming the pure devotee, you can enjoy more than the supreme enjoyment. That's how relishable is pure bhakti. According to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So therefore we are in Lord Chaitanya's movement. This is where you get the most nectar, you see. You know what Krishna Das Kaviraj said about Vaishnavas that didn't accept Lord Chaitanya as God? It's pretty heavy. He said they're a demon. It's pretty heavy. Of course, we don't go around saying that, but that's stated in Krishna Das Kaviraj. Because this Chaitanya's movement is the quintessence of bhakti. Quintessence means the ultimate essence. Next question.
He has another question.
I'm recognizing you.
He wants practical advice how we stop to blaspheme the devotees in our...
Always clarify the devotees. Then there won't be any time for blasphemy. You should glorify the devotees 24 hours a day. Then there won't be any time left for blasphemy.
Something practical to cleanse this.
That is practical. What are you talking about? By your word, by your thoughts, words, and deeds, you must always glorify the devotees. Why do you say impractical?
I'm saying
that's nonsense.
If I had the chance to glorify them, beside to offend them, it wouldn't be so.
I said your attitude, your words, and your actions should all be showing gratitude and appreciation for Vaishnava. That is very practical. For you to say, give me something practical, means you didn't understand the answer.
I'm saying the mind, I'm very influenced by the mind.
Huh?
He's very confused by the mind.
His mind.
Huh?
He's mind. Very confused by the mind.
That's what I'm saying. Whenever your mind thinks badly about a devotee, you should think, yes, but he has this good quality. So-and-so das eats too much. You know. But he works so hard. You should always have something. If your mind gives you some negative thing, you should always then bring in, but my dear mind, don't you realize that he works so hard? You have to always bring in something to defeat the bad thought, you see. Sometimes devotees mistreat us. Doesn't it happen sometimes? Neophyte devotees mistreat us. Anybody have that experience of being mistreated by a neophyte devotee? Sometimes it happens. But does that mean you should harbor bad thoughts against that devotee? Of course you can if you want. But you're not going to be happy. I mean, it's a free world, you know. If you want to think negative thoughts, no one's going to stop you. But even Bob Dylan said negativity won't pull you through. So, therefore, The intelligent thing to do is when you think something bad about a devotee, you should immediately replace it with some good thought.
Затова интелигентното нещо, което може да се направи, ако мислите нещо лошо за някой предан, е веднага да замести тази мисъл с някоя добра.
Not so. I think, well, so-and-so, I remember he was really in Maya,
Аз мисля, че този наистина е в Maya.
He used to, when I was giving a class, he would just walk through the room like I wasn't even there. He would just ignore me.
Докато давах лекция, той просто минаваше през тази, сякаш не ме забелязва.
I could think that way, see, about some devotees.
Аз мога да
мисля. They just were completely, they were practically offensive to me.
Защото те на практика са били оскърбителни към мен.
But is that helping them? No, I should think, but I should see, but now, just see how nicely this devotee is engaged. Just see how sincere he is. In spite of having a fall down, now he has recovered so nicely and he's doing such wonderful service. So in this way you should always see the good. There's two types of little flying creatures. There's flies and bumblebees. What is the fly like? He likes stool. If you have some sower, he likes to come and land on your sower, with the pus oozing out. He loves to come and eat the pus out of your sower. See, but there's the honeybee. What is he like? He wants to go to the beautiful flowers and get a little nectar out of each and every flower, you see. A little nectar here, a little nectar, take it back to the hive, So you have to make a beehive in your heart, you see. You have to see that every devotee is a flower. Let me get a little nectar from this devotee, a little nectar here, and then keep putting that little drops of nectar in my heart and build up a huge honey-filled heart, you see. So every devotee actually, even a struggling neophyte, is a beautiful flower. Even though he may have some thorns, be still a beautiful flower, you see. You could say, yeah, but look at those thorns, those nasty thorns. I'm not going to get near him because he's got those nasty thorns. Ugh. Why don't you see? Oh, he's a beautiful flower. Let me associate and get a little nectar by nicely, serving that devotee, hearing from that devotee, etc., etc. In this way, by seeing the good in that person and not being so worried about the thorns, then you become a great transcendentalist. Because if you're willing to look in the heart of every devotee and see the good in that devotee, your good qualities will be magnified 10 times, 100 times, 1,000 times, 1,000,000 times.
Вашите добри качества се увеличават 10, 100, 1000 и 1 милион пъти.
So, why be a fault finder, a fault finding fly? And you could be a nectar finding honeybee.
Като може да сте пчела, която намира нектар.
Next question. Yeah.
Chant. We must feel like we are lower than a straw in a street.
That's right.
Is it possible?
And what?
Is it possible to be so...
Is it possible? Well, let me ask you a question. Do you think Lord Chaitanya would give us an instruction that's impossible to follow? Yes or no? What'd she say?
Не.
He would not do that, you see. So therefore, it is possible. This is by common sense. Obviously, if Lord Chaitanya gave that instruction, it is possible. So instead of asking, is it possible now, you should ask, how is it possible? That's the proper question. To say it's how is it to say is it possible, that means you don't, where's the faith in Lord Chaitanya? So you should be asking, how is it possible to do that? That is the proper question. So the way it is possible to do that is to beg the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Because by His mercy, even the impossible becomes possible. For us puffed up Kali Yugites, it is indeed impossible to become humble. That's a fact. It is very, very impossible for a puffed up Kali Yugite to become humble. But by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, even that which is impossible becomes possible. Not only is it possible, it becomes probable. Do you know the difference? Possible means, well, you know, it could be remotely possible by, you know, like 1 out of 10 trillion, you know, that's possible, it's a possibility. But if we say it's probable, that means it's likely to happen. That means the odds are good. The possibility is very, very good possibility. That's what it means. Like, you know, 70% chance. That's a very good chance, you see. If you have a 70% chance of accomplishing something, it's a very, the odds are in your favor. So, by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, what are the odds of being successful in becoming humble? 100%. 100% odds. You won't fail. If you will beg for the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, you will not fail in achieving pure humility. You will not fail. Because even if you beg Him in an impure, puffed up heart, which is obviously what we're going to have to do because that's where we're at right now. He doesn't make any conditions. He freely bestows His mercy upon anyone who asks for it, even if they come full of all lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy. So all you really have to do is beg, Lord Chaitanya, please help me to become humble. It's all you have to do. And then you will achieve it by His mercy. Yes, now it's your question. And don't, no one laugh, please. Don't laugh when the children ask questions. Okay, go ahead.
Where I can see Hanuman?
When can he see Hanuman?
Where?
Where? When you become a completely pure devotee of Krishna, you see. Then you'll be able to directly associate with all of, with Lord Krishna, with Lord Ram, and all the great devotees of Lord Krishna and Lord Ram. So if you want to meet with Hanuman, you can do that. You simply must become the pure devotee of Krishna. And then Hanuman, he will come and he will personally come and he will bless you. So now you do that, all right? You become the pure devotee of Krishna. You agree to do that? Become a pure devotee? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes? Very good. Thank you. Okay, next question. Yeah. Very good. Okay, Sarvabhauma Prabhu.
The people like the rose.
People like
rose.
They like the rose, yeah.
But they don't remove the thorns.
So they don't remove the thorns.
Yeah. So is it necessary for us to remove the thorn-like qualities in us, since we are a flower anyway?
It's necessary for us to remove the thorn-like qualities. Actually, when the disciple offers his spiritual master a rose, he removes all the thorns before he hands it to him. If you were to offer your spiritual master a rose flower, would you leave the thorns on or you would take the thorns off? Remove the thorns. Yeah, you don't want him to cut his fingers when you hand him the rose, you see. So that's how we should offer ourselves. You see, no illicit sex. There's four basic type of thorns. No illicit sex, no meat eating, no intoxication, gambling. These four thorns should be removed.
Така трябва да предложим себе си без незаконен секс, четирите регулиращи принципа, тези тръни трябва да се махнат.
And if we're having difficulty removing the thorns, then we should ask the Vaishnavas to help us, ask the spiritual master to help us.
The
spiritual master is very kind, you know, upon those persons who approach him and begging for his mercy. So yes, we all have so many thorns as a man. What we can do, we have to offer ourselves with the thorns. I mean, it's, you know, we join Prabhupada's movement to become his pure devotees. And we try to be pure, but you know, these anarthas take many years to get rid of, you know. So we have to offer ourselves in spite of our thorns. But work diligently to get rid of those thorns. There's so many subtle thorns also besides the four principles. The ten offenses also. So we have many thorns, that's a fact. So we should, with thorns or without thorns, we must offer ourselves to Krishna and to Guru. And then by their mercy, we will become gradually free of all the thorns. It's not that we should be completely thornless before we offer ourselves to Krishna, that's the point. It's like some people say, well, you know, my committing so many offenses, I'm just not going to chant anymore. That's even more offensive. It's better to chant offensively than to not chant at all. So there's nothing to go, I'm so thorny, therefore I'm just going to go away from the Krishna consciousness movement. No, please come with all your thorns. And we'll help you get rid of them. But one should strive to get rid of them. That's sincerely strive. That's a fact. Any other questions? Stana Prabhu.
Как може да се разбере този последен реп от стиха, къде на Атман и Виндати, където Кришна каза, че когато му дойде време, така да го разгледа, звучи много мистично.
The last line. in the shloka, last line, when Krishna says, when the time is ripe. This sounds very
in mystical. Due course of time, that's right.
In due course of time. This sounds very mystical. How to understand this?
Yes. What does it mean when Krishna says, Kaliatmani Vindati? In due course of time, he enjoys within himself. That means you have to be patient. In due course of time, you will enjoy. If you sincerely follow this process, in due course of time, you will taste the highest bliss. That's a thing.
Ако искрено следваш процеса с течение на времето, ти ще достигнеш до най-висшето блаженство.
It means it comes gradually.
Това означава, че той идва постепенно.
If I say, well, you know, I've heard there's a beautiful thing called a sunrise. Now you kindly take me over to this, you know, this park so I can watch the sunrise.
Ако аз кажа, че съм чувал за красивите изгреви, заведи ме в парка да ми ги покажеш.
Say, okay, let me, I want to see it right now. Where is it?
Искам да го видя на момента.
That sunrise doesn't come all of it. It's just in one second, all of a sudden, you see.
Слънцето обаче не изгрява точно във всеки момент.
It gradually comes.
То постепенно изгрява.
The eastern horizon becomes a little bit, not totally pitch black, a little bit brighter, a little bit brighter, a little bit brighter. Then finally there's a little tiny sliver of light that peaks up over the horizon. You see a little smidgen of light, you see. And then a little bit more, a bigger smidgen. And then finally a little more just comes very subtly, very slowly creeping up, you see. So in due course of time you will see the entire sun, that's a fact. But it comes little, slowly, gradually. So in this way you relish that happiness when you within yourself in that way. The beginning is a little tiny drop of it, you go, wow, this is really amazing. That little drop then becomes, you know, it just continues growing. So in this way, it's in due course of time, like a sunrise. Any other questions out there?
Това е част от енергиите на Бога, а те са вечни. Това означава ли, че не си спомням дали Бхагавад Гита, това е спекулация, Кришна казваше, че както той е вечен, и всичките му енергии, материални свят и духовни свят са вечни, и те винаги съществуват. Това означава ли, че материални свят винаги съществува и продължи да съществува?
If all the Krishna's energies are eternal, does that mean that the material world and all of Krishna's energies are also eternal?
Yes, of course. Material world is also eternal.
Материалният свят също е вечен.
Not that it exists for a certain period of time and there is no more material world.
Не е така, че той съществува известно време и после изчезва.
The difference is the material world goes through cycles of manifestation and non-manifestation. Spiritual world is never non-manifested. When Mahavishnu inhales, the material world goes within him in a non-manifest state. Then he exhales, it comes out again in a manifest state. All the living entities who were entangled in the material world at the time of the universal destruction also are merged into the body of Mahavishnu.
всички живи същества, които са обусловени в материалния свят по време на разрушението на вселената.
And when he exhales, they again come out and pick up where they left off in the pathway of sense gratification.
И когато той издишва, те излизат и започват там, където са.
Or spiritual elevation too. What if you're trying to become a pure devotee and you don't quite make it, and Mahavishnu inhales? You could also be in a state of suspended animation with all the other conditioned souls, because you're still partially conditioned.
Of
course, we have a good shot of beating, you know, becoming pure before the next inhalation.
И затова е добро предложение да се пречистим до следващото вдишване.
He's not going to inhale for another 155 trillion years.
Защото няма да има издишване за 155.
So, take the opportunity now before he inhales.
И така че възползваш
сега. Otherwise you might be stuck in a non-manifest state for 311 trillion years.
Така че иначе може да стане в непроявено състояние за
with all the conditioned souls. So there's a saying in English, get while the getting's good. In other words, get out while the getting's good. When you have a get while the getting's good. So in other words, when you have a good chance to get out, take it and get out. So don't loiter in this material existence. Chasing the will of it, the will of the wisp of sense enjoyment. You've been chasing that will-o'-the-wisp for thousands and millions of lifetimes. And where has it gotten in you? Another damn rotting body, that's all. So take the advantage. Take the mercy of Guru and Krishna. Make this your last lifetime in the material world. Okay, we'll give one more last question. Anybody has one more? No, I'll give one more. This lady here, yes, it's Mataji here.
When we grow flowers for Krishna, and they are invaded by bugs.
And they're what?
Invaded by some bugs.
Oh, okay.
That eat them. Should we kill the bugs or no?
Yeah. As much as possible, one should avoid killing bugs.
Доколкото възможно човек трябва да избяга убиването на насекоми.
There are ways to keep the bugs away without killing them. One thing is you get a greenhouse where the bugs can't access it. They can't get in. You can, in a greenhouse you can keep all the bugs out. Just never let them in. So if as far as possible it's one should always try to avoid killing. If it's completely unavoidable, then you may have to sometimes regretfully do it. But as far as possible, it should be avoided. Because their jiva is just like us. They're suffering simply suffering some reactions for previous sins. That's it. So try to spare the poor little bugs as much as possible. Only if there's no other alternative could you kill them. Okay? Alright. So we'll stop here. We thank you all very much. Rajavajra Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Thank you so much.